The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Today, I wanted to share with you the legacy of an idea. And really what it is, it's the story of my father. My dad was my hero, my mentor. And over this weekend, as I was thinking and pondering and meditating, reviewing, examining, I kind of had an epiphany, and I wanted to share that with y'all. My dad was born in 1940, and he grew up in a working class home. His dad was a mechanic, and he worked on cars and trucks, and he was an automobile mechanic. And his mom was a stay-at-home mom, domestic engineer, very common in the 40s. And even though incomes were much lower, buying power was much higher. And my dad was born in 40. But one of the challenges my dad had is he had a very severe form of dyslexia, which at that time was undiagnosed. And because of that challenge, he was basically pushed out of school at probably around the age of 12 or 13. They kind of deemed him unteachable or what have you. You know, they didn't have the special ed and all the bells and whistles they have now at government schools. So they basically just kind of told him school isn't something that's for you. And at the age of 12 or 13, he basically started working full time. I believe the first job he had was harvesting salt hay out of the hay meadows. And he started doing that around the age of 12 or 13, working full time. And over the course of the next several years, he ended up getting a job at a cannery. And from the way that I understand it and that he told the story, he started there working in maintenance, helping them maintain the property and the machines. And through the course of events there, he learned the trades working in the cannery. He learned electrical and plumbing and general maintenance and how things work and all that stuff. And as he progressed there at the cannery, he basically became the head of maintenance. And then at some point in time, I believe it was American Can, so it was a very large cannery, and the market shifted and they decided to close the cannery. So basically my dad went to work in the morning and they fired him. And upon firing him, they hired him back because he knew how the machines worked and how to put them together. He knew how to take them apart. So after firing him, they hired him back basically as a consultant to take all of these machines apart, load them on a rail car, and ship them to, I believe it was Chicago. And they hired him back at a much higher rate. And so he proceeded to take all of these, all of this equipment apart, loaded it on a rail car. They shipped it to Chicago. They flew him out to Chicago to reassemble all the components, all the machines. And then they made him a job offer to run the plant out there in Chicago. And at the time, my dad was a young father. And I believe the timeline is, I have a brother that's a year and a half older than me, and I have a twin sister. And I believe at that time when all this stuff happened, I think my brother was like 3 or 4. So me and my sister were about 2. So my dad had 3 young children, and he has limited schooling. He got a really good job offer, but it required him to relocate our family to the Chicago area. And my dad had purchased a home right across the street from his parents, and he didn't want to relocate the family. He didn't want to move. And he had just experienced how ephemeral his job was, right? So what do you do? What do you do when you have a severe challenge and you get fired? What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He bought an international aluminum step van. It was a bread truck. If memory serves, I think it was a bread truck. It looked a lot like your modern day UPS truck. But it was all aluminum truck. And he painted it olive drab green. My dad was a hardworking blue collar kind of guy, and he basically wore a uniform every day. If any of y'all are familiar with the Dickies brand, Dickies makes a uniform. Many times it's fire rated and different things, but they come in like 3 basic colors. There's like navy blue, then there's the olive drab green, and then I believe they have a khaki color. But my dad always wore the navy blue Dickies pants with the matching button-down work shirt, or he wore the olive drab green. And that was like one of his things that he did. And for whatever reason, he paints this bread truck olive drab green. And then he has a pinstriper guy paint a sign on the sign, and it's his name. It's his name and sons. So he had him add the ampersand, the and sons, right? So it's his name and sons. I think it said like contracting or general construction. And then it had our home phone number. And in retrospect, it really makes you think, you know, we were young. He had just lost his job. what do you do in America when you just lose your job? He decides to start a business. And this is like the story of America. This is like the American dream, right? And for whatever reason, he has a sign painted on his work van. And it says, "And Sons." So clearly he had some type of foresight. Clearly he was thinking generationally. He was thinking long range, long term. Like, maybe I'll start this business. Maybe my sons will be inspired or like it, and maybe they'll continue. And interestingly enough, my brother and I grew up, and my dad worked a lot. My dad worked 6 days a week. He worked from sunup to sundown. He was always working on something. And when he wasn't working at work, he was working at something at the house, fixing something up, fixing something that was broken. And, you know, I went to government school. And I was taught, you know, you go to school to get a good education so you can get a good job, so that you can get a retirement package, so that you can retire and drown worms or whatever the rest of your life. But, I mean, that's what I was taught. And, you know, as a youth and being young and thinking you know everything, I decided, like, I don't want to work that hard. That's like too hard. That's too much work. I'm going to work smarter, not harder, right? And for whatever reason, you know, my brother decided to go to college. So both of us, while growing up in the business and working with our father sparingly, neither of us had an interest in the business. And my brother went off to college to study electrical engineering. I went off to college, started out as an engineering major, switched to a business admin minor in finance, went to college for 7 years, and got tired of paying tuition and dropped out. And I got a job in the financial field doing financial investing and all that stuff. Started at the bottom, kind of worked my way up. Ironically enough, as God would have it, after 11 years in the financial planning industry, I kind of got pushed out of my position. And more interestingly enough, I spent a year day trading in 2008. And I learned more in that year than I probably learned in the previous 11. I learned a lot of things about the market, and about derivatives, and about the boom bust cycles, and all these different things. Learned in real time on the job. And then the opportunity presented itself, and a friend of a friend had a construction company that did roofing, windows, siding. It was a general construction company, and he said, "I need somebody to run this company." And I was good with numbers. I understood construction slightly. I was definitely exposed to it. And I had a great consultant. I had my dad. And I said, "Yeah, I can do that." And long story longer, that where I started there, I worked there for a couple years, and that grew and morphed into my own construction company. And lo and behold, now I have my own construction company, and my dad is now older. He's working less in the field. My parents had accrued a very modest amount of kind of lower end investment properties, so they had some passive income. So I started hiring my dad to work with me on different projects, and I was able to pay him really well, and we were able to hang out every day. And I'm very thankful for that time that God gifted me with, that time with my dad. That was before we moved. We relocated about 12 years ago, but the last 3 or 4 years before we moved, I was able to work with my dad. And the whole father and son's general construction thing kind of came full circle. And then after we moved, my dad started having strokes. And the last 4 years of his life, he was kind of bedridden. And he passed now 4 or 5 years ago. Time goes so fast. I don't know. It might have been 6 years ago. I don't know. It goes very fast. But I thought about this idea, the legacy of an idea. How my dad had this idea of buying an aluminum bread truck, painting it olive drab green, and then hiring somebody to hand paint a sign on there, and he put his last name on there, and Sons. And just the legacy of that idea, the power of an idea, the legacy of an idea, and how when opportunity presents itself, how that idea of an idea, just the consideration of an idea, how powerful it can be. And then, you know, you fast forward, we move, and we get asked a lot, like, why aren't you guys making videos and different things? And this, what I'm doing here, is a time capsule. This is for my children. Unfortunately, this isn't for any of y'all that are watching. I hope you do benefit from it. But, you know, this will get 200 or 300 views, maybe 500 downloads or whatever. And that's okay, because this is a time capsule. This is for my children. When they need it, when they're ready for it, they're going to listen to it. And this is going to remind them. This is going to encourage them. This is going to be that time capsule, maybe that history that they didn't hear or they forgot or they didn't know. But we moved, and when my oldest son was 15, you know, they started this YouTube thing as a hobby, and we all kind of had fun, and we did it. and we made these videos. And then when my oldest son was 15, he said, "Dad, you know what? I think I want to do this as a business." So he really like started working hard and learning and investing. And over the course of the next couple of years, he got very good at it. And we had a very brief 3 to 5 month period before all the censorship and the technocracy and the shadow banning that still is alive and well today. They had quite a bit of success. We had quite a bit of success on our website. They had a decent amount of success. That's when the YouTube channel grew the most. And after all of the strikes and the shadow ban and the virtual gulags of the social media realm, my three oldest boys decided, hey, we want to take the capital that we've accumulated and we want to invest it. And so they proceeded. First, they started out with a sawmill, a mobile sawmill. They started out doing that. They got burnt several times on that. People stiffed the money and they were just like, yeah, this isn't really what we want to do because people are just not always honest and they want everything for free. And if you've ever done any mobile milling, you'll kind of understand. If you ever tried to do it and charge for it anyway, if you didn't just do it for free. So they pivoted, they bought a couple work trucks and some trailers, and now they have 3 work trucks, and they started a small construction company. They do a lot of high-end and low-end. They're currently building an Airbnb for us that's really very nice, very high-end. So this is what they're doing. And I'm thinking about this. And I don't know why it made me think of this whole, like, my dad, however many, 45, 50 years ago, getting fired and starting this business and including his sons, for whatever reason, they were too young to even pick up a hammer. And the legacy of that idea. And to kind of see where that has brought us today. And a lot of that is because of my dad and my mom. They always absolutely believed that we could do anything we put our mind to. And they always encouraged us to do whatever we were passionate about. And they always supported us. And now my sons are carrying on the legacy of that idea and sons. And hopefully with the end goal to continue that idea, to continue to think long range and to paint that picture of the future for their children. And it was just this really encouraging thought that I had that the Lord gave me as I was reading through Hebrews and read about how Christ is greater than, you know, all these things. And God encouraged me with that and really made me think about my dad. I think about him a lot. I miss him. What an awesome, awesome, incredible man. Another thing about my dad, you know, he had severe dyslexia. And in spite, and he got pushed out of school at 12. And he had it was very challenging for him to read, but he forced himself, he taught himself how to read. My mom helped him. And he purposefully, despite all of the difficulties and the challenges, he would purposefully sit down with us as a family and read the Bible to us, as hard and as drawn out and as difficult and as almost impossible as it was, he would do that. And that was such an example to me, to never quit, to never give up, to hold things as righteous and holy, and to hold them up as a model, and to also be that person, to instill the beliefs and convictions that you have, and to live that out unashamedly, and regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the scenarios, regardless of the trials and the tribulations and whatever's holding you back, regardless of all that, to do it anyway, and to be a person of integrity, and to be a person of character, and to do it anyway, and to don't crawl in. You suck it up, Buttercup. You get in there and you do it anyway, regardless of whatever the mitigating circumstances are. And that was my dad. And he was awesome. Hope this helps. Have a blessed day, y'all.